Hello, and welcome to the I Hope Empowers podcast. Have you ever wondered why the birthplace of Christianity is now almost all Islamic? Back then, it was largely due to Christian apathy and fear, and now we're in danger of repeating history. Islam is growing here while Christianity is declining, and yet just 2% of Christians are sharing the gospel with tremendous implications for future generations. This podcast is all about empowering you and your family to help reverse those trends. Hello, everybody. This is Karen Bijani from iHope, and Renaud and I have been unpacking five biblical essentials every Christian should know and do with Muslims. And this podcast will be different. This time, you're going to hear from a former Muslim as she shares the story about how she came to find and follow Jesus. And as she shares, I want to encourage you to be listening for the five essentials as she shares her story. Now, you are in for a real treat today. I want to introduce to you my friend, Asma. Will you all just join me in welcoming her today? Hello, Asma.
Thank you. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah. So friends, Asma grew up in a closed country in North Africa, and that means it was illegal to evangelize. It's dangerous to be a Christian in public. So Asma, what was it like growing up Muslim in that closed country in North Africa?
Yes. I grew up in a conservative Muslim family where 90% of the population was Muslim. As a child and young adult, I just wanted to please God by following His commandments. And that meant I read the Quran often, prayed five times a day, and fasted as much as I could. My parents taught me that reading every letter in the Quran would equal hasanat, which means a good deed in Arabic. I often read it to get good deed points without really trying to understand. I started thinking about God seriously after I lost my dad. And this was my first time experiencing a loss in my life. I was very, very fearful of God, and I knew I needed to collect more hasanats and work even harder because I didn't know if I was going to heaven or hell. I was afraid of Judgment Day and also afraid for my dad's final destiny after his death.
I can imagine that, Asma. I would have been afraid too. So in your home country, people are persecuted for carrying a Bible, for posting on Facebook, or even eating during Ramadan. So when you came to the U.S. as an international student in your early 20s, that must have been a really huge change for you.
Yeah. Yes. My family was nervous for me because they didn't know, they didn't want me to live a sinful life and be influenced by kafirs, what we say, the unbelievers of Islam. I remember praying before going to school for the first time for God to protect me from the kafirs.
Asma, every time I hear you tell that story, I think it surprises me again and again that you would pray that God would protect you from people like me.
Yeah.
And so I know. So I'm really dangerous. So with that in mind, what were you thinking about Christians at that point?
Yeah. Well, what I knew about Christianity was limited. I thought Christianity was what I saw on Hollywood movies and mainstream media, and also Islamic resources, such as the Quran, Hadiths and sermons. I thought that Christians believed that God had a physical son and that there were three gods. That was a blasphemy for me in Islam. I was taught in Islamic studies from the imams that the Bible is corrupt and that God sent Muhammad to correct the corrupted teachings found there. So for me, all Westerns were Christians, as all in my country identified as Muslim regardless of practice.
You bring up a really great point, and I want to just camp out here for just a second and just say that again so we don't miss it. So in your mind, as you came here as an international student, you had the perception that all Westerners were Christians, just right. like everybody was Muslim. So just let that settle in now. Thinking about you, you're in college, you meet a Christian for the very first time. Tell us about that.
Yes, I had a part-time job in the same college, and my coworkers were believers. So I became good friends with some of them, and I admired my friend's love for God, and just sincere love. And I said to myself, they know God, but they do not know the true God. So I didn't want them to go to hell because I cared for them. So I wanted my friends to convert to Islam. And so I started going to workshops to learn how to convert them. And I had conversations with ex-Christians in the mosque to learn from them and how they were converted.
I love that you shared that, Asma, because I know many of my Christian friends don't realize that Muslims are so kingdom-minded. You were really concerned about your friends and where they were going, whether they were going to heaven or to hell. And so there you were. You were learning how to evangelize Christians so that they might go to heaven. And so what happened next?
One of my coworkers would bring his Bible, and he would talk about the love of God and his relationship with him. I could see his love for God, and he was the first one that changed my perspective about Christians. I figured that Hollywood may not be the right resource to learn about Christians. And at that point, having a relationship with God was a strange thought to me, because I thought of God as a master and me, his slave, who couldn't obey all his commandments. There were thousands of rules and laws. I was like a slave. I saw myself as a slave with a huge burden on my back from the laws that I could not, and I know I could not fulfill. I was always worried about God's punishment for my mistakes and disobedience.
So at that point, with this burden really heavy, I know that you began to think more critically about your faith. So tell us about that journey.
Yes. While in the mosque and evangelism classes, I was in conversation with ex-Christians about marriage and women's issues. And some of my Muslim friends, I was really surprised by them, because they didn't have a problem with their husbands marrying multiple women. And what I found, they were really obedient to the Quran, to the teaching of Islam. And I had, on the other hand, a different opinion. And through these conversations, I was faced with a big question. If I were truly Muslim, then I needed to believe every teaching because it was from God. That meant I couldn't pick and choose whether I agreed on issues around marriage or women's rights. So I dug deeper into Islam at that point, and I had discovered that the majority of the teaching favored men. And it was an eye-opening for me to learn that things like if a woman is disobedient to her husband and he dies, she will not even smell heaven because she will be very far from it. So in this case, a woman's salvation was connected to her man in Islam.
So asthma, like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but as I'm listening to you share that, I'm thinking, gosh, for the first time you started to think about your critical thinking, and I just, what happened next?
Yes. Yes. Now I realize that the Holy Spirit was guiding me. About that time, I prayed what I call the magical prayer. And I asked God, I said, if Islam is the right religion, then let me stay as a Muslim. If not, show me the way to you. Mm. And a few days later, I started having this just urgency and a burning of wanting to know about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I grabbed my friend's Bible and I started reading it. And I was flipping pages to get to Jesus until I saw writing in red. That was important. So I couldn't put the book down from there. And ultimately, I accepted Jesus as my savior after reading the Bible. I couldn't resist his love and care. And everything made sense. And it was clear to me who Jesus was.
Awesome. And I want to just camp out here for just a second, because you referred to something you called the magical prayer, where you prayed to God, if Islam is the right religion, then let me stay as a Muslim. If not, show me the way to you. I can't tell you how many times that Renaud and I have prayed a prayer similar to that with many Muslims that just says, hey, Lord, will you help this my friend here know the truth about you. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I'm just curious, Asma, how long did that entire process take with you, as from the time you began to read the Bible till the time you began to just find and follow Jesus? How long did that take?
It took about 4 years. So it's a 4-year process from that time. And then I began to study and compare Islam to Christianity, and then read the Bible. I shared this that, you know, so that you don't get discouraged with your Muslim friends, because if you're not seeing fruits right away, right? Some of my friends actually back then do not even know that I became Christian, you know, that's years later. So keep sharing the good news, because you do not know what God is doing in their heart.
That is a great reminder. It's not our job to convert people. We just share the gospel and love, and then get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit work. Now, let's talk about what happened after you began to follow Jesus.
Well, the Bible was very clear about persecution. And life after accepting Jesus was not easy. My family was shocked, and they disowned me. But the support system I had from other believers was very, very important. And during this time, I married Maji, the love of my life, and he was my rock. He taught me a lot about how to be a good Christian and how to study the Bible after I became a believer.
And I know it was right around then that Renaud and I first met you both. And then through the years, it was so awesome as we cheered you on as you graduated from college, and then you became a mom, and then you and Maggie had big plans for your future together. And then right before Christmas last year, all that changed. And unexpectedly, in the middle of the night, God called Maggi home. How did that impact your faith, Asma?
Yeah. As you can imagine, I was devastated.
Yeah.
My world was absolutely shaken, but God used this tragedy to show me that he's a powerful God.
Amen.
He alone can give and take life. And My husband did not belong to me. It belongs to him. It belongs to God, and it's his child. So God gifted him to me.
Mm.
As hard as it has been, in God's love for me, this trial taught me that God must be the center of my life.
Yes, Asma, and as we've walked with you through grief and mourning, it's been really sweet to see how the Lord's hand has been on you. Why don't you share with our listeners what's next for you?
What brings me comfort is knowing that my husband knew his Savior, and I'm certain of his eternal destiny. Yet my family back home does not have that same kind of certainty. Like what I experienced after losing my dad this time, I have no doubt about God's mercy or his grace. God began to burden my heart for Muslims in my home country. So I began praying and just inquiring the Lord and seeking wise counsel. And God made my next steps very clear, and I had so many confirmations. So I'm excited to share that I'll be leaving this summer to serve as a long-term missionary in North Africa, where I'll be bringing the gospel to those who have not yet heard the good news.
Amen. Yes, and listeners, will you pray for Asma? Pray that the Lord uses her mightily and that he will make her path straight right to those persons of peace. And also pray for her safety and her financial provisions. And Asma, any final thoughts?
One of my big recent aha moments has been realizing that I've been going to my husband first to cast my problems and worries on him, and I would pray later, or we'll pray together later. So when I was praying, I wasn't really truly realizing that it was the God of this universe that I didn't have to put mask on while praying, and that I was talking to, and he has an open door policy for me. And this is huge. I've learned that the one who knows me and who knows you from the inside out is able and powerful.
Mm.
He can take life in seconds. And at the same time, loving and caring. And what an awesome God with no limitation. And God does not need us. Doesn't need me, doesn't need my belongings or things or money, but he wants us to experience him through our obedience to him.
Amen, sister. To God be the glory. And Asma, thank you for joining us here on this podcast today. How special it was to have you share your story to all of the I Hope community today. Thank you.
Thank you, friend.
So, friends, did you hear four of the five essentials as Asma shared her story? Before we go there, first let me point out what you did not hear. You didn't hear that her friends argued her into the kingdom through the Quran or apologetics. Here's what did happen, though. First, Asma was a person of peace. God was wooing her heart. And second, she obtained a Bible. Actually, she snuck it away, and she started studying it. And then third, she heard the gospel. And finally, she experienced the love of God flowing to her through her Christian friends. Now, Asma didn't mention one essential, and that's one we'll cover on the next podcast, and that is to pray with your Muslim friend in Jesus's name, and more about that next time. In the meantime, please be praying for Asma. And friends, if this podcast has inspired you, please remember to leave a review on iTunes. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the I Hope Empowers podcast. Our vision is for every Muslim to hear the gospel through an authentic relationship with a Christian. Learn more on our blog or find other resources on our website, www.ihopeministries.org.